want to speak this morning of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And some of the passage I'm going to share with you, you're going to say, I've heard it all before. You've had a cup of tea before, but you still need another one. You've got a bed you sleep in, and you still will sleep in it. You don't go and think, I'm not going to bed tonight because I've done it all before. Sometimes we need the word more and more and more because we really haven't got it. We really haven't. And I mean this. God has done everything he can for us, and we need, this is maybe just for me, but I can tell you, as I've been studying, as I've been relishing, and I've been really enjoying more and more of Christ in me, oh, it's just so wonderful, just so, so amazing. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that you instruct us, you guide us, you lead us, and you direct us. May your kingdom come in each of our lives more and more in power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start off with John 3, 1-21. This is about Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the, if you like, he was the teacher of Israel. And he came to Jesus, and this is what Jesus said. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept my testimony. I have spoken to you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that was on the cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he came that it may save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done through God. May God bless that reading, and may we really understand what it means. It means to be born again, you are now a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I ask you a question. Have you been born again? Because if you haven't, you are not in the kingdom of God. And when you come into the kingdom of God and you receive the Holy Spirit, It's a seal on your life and on my life. God seals us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Just a couple of scriptures I would just like to say here. John 6:27 says, God the Father has placed his seal upon you. 2 Corinthians 1:22, he set his seal of ownership on us. Ephesians 1:13, you were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, God knows us, he sees us, because if you like, we're a different person, we're a different breed, we're aliens and strangers in this world. Do we act like it? Do we act like it? Let me say, God has done everything that he needs to do for us. What we have to do is be empowered by the Spirit to live a life as he would like us to. We should be passionate for the kingdom of God. God's way of doing things. So when we come into his kingdom, there are, if you like it or not, there are rules and regulations. Oh, I thought God, Jesus Christ came that grace so that we can do anything we want, so to speak. You can, of course you can. But the devil will come in and I'll tell you, he'll have your life and he will ram it home in you and you will have a hell of a job getting rid of him. Please hear me. God has done everything for us. Seeking the kingdom is deliberate and proactive. Seeking the kingdom of putting God first means making decisions that line up with the word of God, inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. We really need to know with no question whatsoever, leading a good life will not get us into the kingdom. Leading a life that we think is pure and perfect will not get us into the kingdom. The only thing that will get us into the kingdom is being born again. A miraculous thing. It is absolutely staggering what God did when you're born again. You just want more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're hungry for more of God. You hungry for him? Let me tell you a few things that we need to do. And I know people get so tired of it. You need to get the word of God in you. You really do need to do this. And I don't mean in 5 and 10 minutes. I mean take a couple of hours. I mean do business with God. Make business with God. This is what we're for. We're here on earth that he can instruct us to spread his kingdom and the love of God into places and people that he wants us to be in. But a lot of the time, we spend too much in the flesh and not enough in the spirit. Yeah? In that reading that I gave, it says, spirit gives birth to spirit, but flesh gives birth to flesh. You and I are going to be at war with the flesh all the time we're on earth. But gradually, we can get so that we are more and more understanding the Spirit of God. And the kingdom of God, if you've got a kingdom, you must have a king. And his name is Jesus. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he? Is that who he is in your life and my life? I want to instruct myself as well as others. I want to look at this and see, is Jesus in the kingdom of your life? Is it him? Is it his way of doing things? Or have we never really made that real step as we were singing together, I surrender all. I surrender all. How much is that? 2%? 5%? 10%? How much have you surrendered? I surrender all. That's what we sing. Don't sing it if you're not going to do it. Don't sing it if you're not going to do it. That's really what it means. Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom, and it's an everlasting kingdom. It has no end, guys. This is such fabulous news. Let me say, Matthew 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't keep worrying about the bridge up the road. Come before God and allow him to either take the bridge away or instruct you in a way through. And I just share this, Luke 9, the cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Have you said that to God? I will follow you wherever you take me. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. The man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Notice, the man replied, Lord, that's how he expressed it to Jesus. First let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. These are tough scriptures. These are tough things. We live in a tough world, and if you look what's going on in the world, I can tell you it's going to get tougher and tougher. And us Christians need to stand, and as someone said, we need to be the light of the world. We really do need to stand out and be aliens and strangers. This is what Hudson Taylor said, founder of China Inland Mission. I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked him if I might help him. Sounds good, doesn't it? I ended up by asking him to do his work through me. That's what he asked for all of us. Can I do my work through you? Can I do my work through you? To honor the king means to obey him. Seek means to pursue with determination. Kingdom people seek knowledge and understanding, and the more we study the Holy Spirit, he will open up ways in our hearts through the nuggets in the word that are put in scripture to bring revelation and understanding to us. The Lord is always looking to our hearts. It's the place where he longs to be. Luke 17 says, the coming of the kingdom of God. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you and me. Everything, and Nita said this twice in the last couple of weeks, everything you need is established in you in the kingdom that is in you. It's everything that you need to live the life of Christ is in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to bring wholeness and goodness. There is nothing in this life that can defeat you and I if we come and lay our whole selves at Christ's feet. There's nothing. We're overcomers in Christ. Are you an overcomer? Do you struggle? I do sometimes, I must admit. Because I'm on the way, but I haven't got there yet. We live in the world, but are not of the world. In a way, when the Spirit comes upon us, we're ring-fenced. Do you know what a ring-fence means? It means it's there for a certain purpose. And that's what we're there for, a certain purpose. I cannot do what God wants you to do. And I cannot the other way around. You cannot do what I'm supposed to do. And that's why a church should be running in really well-oiled gear, if you wish, because the oil of the Spirit should be laying on people's hearts and saying, if you're not doing anything in the church, I should be. I should be doing something in the church. I should be used by God. And if you're not asked the leadership, or Clive, is there a vacancy somewhere that I could help? Is there something that I could be doing? Is there someone I could be encouraging? Is there something that God is leading me to do? We need to stroke coals on the fire that ignites our hearts. We really do. It's all about the heart. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I urge you to live as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. There is a vast difference between what we are and what we could be in God. Whatever you read in the Bible, put it into practice. Because you can read it all you like, but unless you put it into practice, it is not active. Please, please, may I just say in a few words, let's have no regrets when we get older that we didn't do what God called us to do. And very often, we do need to switch that television off. We need to stop reading things that are not of God, because what you're doing when you start putting the world systems in your life, and I don't need a drink, it's like putting in the Word of God in the bottom half of this glass and then diluting it with water until the glass is filled up and you're not good to God or to man. Please hear me. Every time you put flesh instead of spirit, you weaken your faith. You will not be walking the way God wants you to. So often, we don't put God first. We'll put him, if you like, on reading the word or in prayer. I may be speaking about prayer next time I talk. I don't know, but I'll just share this with you. I was looking at some stuff by Andrew Murray, and I shared, I think, about this, but let me just say this. He said, you people, you want me to teach you to pray, do you? He said, well, this is the easy part at the start. He said, the first thing you do is get down on your knees, and you're quiet for the first half an hour. He didn't say, build up from 2 minutes to 5 minutes and from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. He said, the first thing you need to do is get on your knees and to be quiet before God for half an hour, listening to his voice, listening to what he has to say, instead of you filling all the gaps and everything in it, but listen, write it down, and see what God's heart is in the situation. Then after half an hour, just bring anything before God you feel by his spirit you're being led, but just take time and get in the word and then pray in the word, and you think, gosh, I wouldn't have time for that. I wouldn't have time to do that. But you've got time, probably, to watch some of the old, I don't know what it would be, these things on TV that people watch every night or every other night or whatever. What is it? Soaps. Soaps. I'll tell you with the soap, wash your mouth out. Why I'm saying this, I do believe, as Christians, we are nowhere near where God wants us to be. I'm not. I know it's terrible to say it, but I'm not. Because I know the more I seek him, the more there is of me to know. And I want to get to that place, but I'm so hungry, I can't put the Bible down, I can't stop praying, I can't stop speaking in tongues. I want to get to that place where I can hear God and all that he has for me. In Psalm 138, verse 2, it says, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God's word is so important to him. It is so important that he keeps all his promises, which are yes and amen in Christ. This was from Smith Wigglesworth, which some of his books I love, that says this. Some people like to read the Bible in Hebrew. Some like to read the Bible in Greek. But I like to read it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the way to learn. Read the Bible in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let him come and take control. Doesn't matter if you know Hebrew and you know Greek. If you don't know the King of Kings, you're on a losing wicket. So many people, honestly, even these professors and stuff, they know about the Bible. They could tell you verse for verse, but you ask them about relationship. And that's the only thing that God wants. Relationship. He always has. That's why Jesus came. That we can have relationship with him. And if we can surrender all, and I do mean this, if we can surrender all, God will do such amazing things in us. Galatians 2:20, you know what it says. Dear Gordon Whittle used to come up here almost every week and share this scripture. And I can always remember him saying about it, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Louis Palau, when he went to seminary, he was learning about the Lord and about the Bible, etc. And then he went back to see his pastor, and his pastor said, "Have you had a good term? Has it been good for you?" He said, "It's been really good," he said, "but the old professor, he comes in before every talk, before everything, and he says this, 'I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I live, but Christ who lives in me.'" He said, "He gets on my nerves, that's all he keeps saying." And the pastor said, "Have you learned what it means?" He said, "I don't suppose I have, really." He said, "Well, you need to keep hearing it again and again and again until you understand it. You see, until you do it, it means nothing to you. But if you really can say 100%, 'I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live in the sense by the will of God.'" So what I'm saying, have you been crucified with Christ? Do you want in your whole life the best thing that God has got for you? Crucify the flesh. Be in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be touched by the Spirit. See what God can do through you. I can tell you today, I have got not a single nut and bolt to share with you but Jesus Christ. I've got nothing to offer you. Terry Baker has got nothing to offer you at all, other than perhaps a slap on the wrist for not doing as you should do. But it is to have Jesus Christ at the forefront of our lives, to surrender and come before him in love and thanksgiving. Just to say, if you think about the kingdom of God, it's mentioned just over 100 times in the New Testament. You say, "My word, is it really?" Yeah. So the kingdom of God is very important to the king. So if we want to live in the kingdom of God, we must do things that God wants us to do. I want to read this scripture. You've heard it many, many times before. And it says, Matthew 13:18. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown in the heart. This seed now is sown along the path. The one who receives it, the seed fell on rocky places, and the man hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since there is no root, it lasts only a short time." Do you know many who come to Christ? You would think they did, but a little while along the path, where are they? They're nowhere to be seen. The devil has snatched away the word of God because he knows if you can get the word of God in you, you'll be an overcomer. You will overcome. You really will. "But since there's no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the person who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 60, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Why am I saying this? Because when you hear the word of God ever, and you need to hear the word and know that God longs to speak to us and hear us, and he longs us to implement what is said. Please hear me. If you don't understand that, I can guarantee it will be erased from your life. It will be. So if there's anything you don't understand, you need to ask people, "What does this mean? I've read this and I don't understand it. Can you explain it to me, please?" Because if you don't, you will keep having the same fruit. Because if you don't control or have the right root, the fruit is always not going to be good. The root of our whole being should be rooted in the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit. We should be the people who are different in this world and making time for whatever we love the most. You cannot worship God and money. It says that. Where your heart is, there whatever it is will be. If Christ is the one who is the center of your heart and my heart, then we're on a good wicket. We really are. I want to just read that when Jesus, this was at his just about to be crucified, and he was before Pilate, and John 18:33 said this. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. "It was your people and your priests who handed you over for what you have done." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." "Are you a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus said, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus." It says, "listens to me," which was Jesus. So are we building our lives on the rock of Christ? The Roman Empire, in many ways, I'm talking about the structures here, was built of stone. And that's why you can go to Rome and around the places today in various, and you can see the architecture and the work they done, because it was built with stone. So it lasts. It was built on a product that is strong and will last. And we're building on the rock of Christ. We will be standing when the Roman Empire completely and all the structures will be demolished. They will all be gone. Build your life on Christ. Our lives stand not only while on earth, but after we leave, bringing others to Christ. Encouragement. Let's give others encouragement, the kingdom of God on earth. I have been to 3 funerals this year so far. And 2 of them were guys named Peter. And 1 of them was Peter, who worked for me. And when we went to the funeral, I was so delighted to hear the testimonies of Peter, his wife coming to Christ, his 4 children, his adopted child, those people who were married, those people who were their parents, and the other side of Pent. There was about 20 of them, and they all knew Christ. Why? Because Peter shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. The second one was Peter, who was a great friend of mine, and Neat. He'd been a trustee for J. John, and we'd known him for over 26 years. He'd been there longer than me. He'd been there 27 years. And he died the day before Christmas Eve in Sainsbury's, and his daughter, who was a real qualified nurse, he died of a heart attack. Dunk. And there was nothing they could do. But at his funeral, his wife, his 4 children, other people of family, they all got up to testify what Peter had done. It was absolutely astounding. See, these people who are living in the kingdom and want more of the kingdom and God in them, it radiates to others. So although they've gone, they will still, what they did in life, still will be carrying on, because God in others who came to know Christ. And that's how it wants to be for us. We want it to be that, yes, there will be times which are hard, there'll be times which we have great problems, but he will hold our hand. He'll be there for us. He'll be there when times are really tough. Colossians 1 says this, "Once you were alienated from God," that's me as well, "and were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. But now he has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death, to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven." And then Colossians 2 says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this word, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you and I have been given the fullness of Christ, who is head over every power and authority. We've got nothing to argue about. He has filled us with the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and we need to proclaim it, walk in it, be filled in it, because we know the word and the word is living and active, and that's the way we should live our lives. We should be clay vessels in which he can pour out his fullness, in which we can exhibit his life, his goodness, his power, and his love. We are empty vessels to be used by Christ. God bless you. Amen.